I'll start off from the book of John, chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask of my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and believe that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I'm coming to the world again. I'm coming to the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Praise God. These are very, very beautiful words from Jesus. Some of the last words before he left this world, before he went to the cross. Words that reveal the heartbeat of God for his people. Praise God. He's speaking here about a day. He says, in that day, you shall ask of me, you see it, nothing. In that day you shall ask in my name, in that day. Now he's talking about a day that has come, a day that is already present in anyone who's awakening to truth. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day that he has prepared for those that love the name of the Lord, those that are gathered unto the name of the Lord. Praise God. It's a day of perfect light. See, it's a day where every shadow has been dispersed and you come into the light. When the Apostle John saw the new Jerusalem in the book of Revelations, he saw that there was no night there, it was just day. That is the day of the Lord. See, it's, everything is made plain, clear. See, every shadow of doubt, everything that has been clouded our understanding as men has been totally removed. See, and the prayer of every saint is that he may be found immaculate in that day. See, that day comes hand in hand with the awakening of the Son of God in you. When a man awakes from his deep sleep, because all men are asleep, every man is asleep. See, even professing Christians are asleep. See, those who are still praying to Jesus in the sky are asleep. See, those who think they can get to God with works are still asleep. Those who still view God as a God ready to punish them and to cause them to roast like barbecue lamps in fire forever and ever are still asleep. See, the whole world is asleep because the world does not know God. Jesus Christ says the world does not know God. The world does not know God. All those ideas that we had of God is not God. Those things that you shout at and pray to, and that is not God. Those are just fabricated images of what we thought God was. Praise God. Jesus Christ says, I have known you, Father, but the world has not known you. Now we must know that to know God, you must first of all know yourself. You must awake. Praise God. When you awake, every shadow flees away. Every trace of darkness flees away, and you begin to see everything plainly. You begin to enjoy the father-son relationship that Jesus Christ exhibited while he was upon the earth. Now these things are already present. Jesus Christ says in that day, and that day has come right now, you better take it by faith and enter in by faith. Hallelujah. Take these words of truth. Let this be your confession and enter in by faith. Praise God. He says, in that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me. You see, if you understand the words of Jesus Christ here, Jesus Christ still had to speak in parables to them, because at that point in time, there's no way they would have comprehended what he was saying. Hallelujah. He has already said, he said, the days come where I will no more speak to you in proverbs, but everything will be made plain to you. At that point in time, the disciples did not understand the mystery of what Christ was trying to deliver unto them. Praise God. You see, it's up to this very day, people are still praying to Jesus so that Jesus will intercede for them. Some people pray to Mary for Mary to intercede for them. Now you pray for Jesus for the, so that Jesus will speak to the Father and the Father will forgive you. You pray to Jesus to speak to the Father so that the Father will come in and, you know, do something in your life. But let me tell you something today. Jesus Christ is saying here emphatically that you don't need to pray. You don't need to ask Jesus for anything anymore, because you who are awake and enter into that day, you walk in that name that Jesus walked in. You walk in that eternal name that Jesus Christ walked in. Praise God. That's why it says, in that day you will ask in my name. In that day you shall ask. You see it? In my name. In the first place, you cannot realize that day except you walk in that new name. You cannot realize that day except there's an awakening in you and you rediscover the Son of God in you. Praise God. No man can enter into that day except he realizes that I am Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise God. And when you realize that you are the Son, you begin to operate exactly the way Jesus Christ operated. Jesus Christ operated saying, I and the Father are one. Praise God. I thank you, Father, because you always hear me. I thank you, Father, because you have heard my prayers. This was what he said before he went to Lazarus, before he shouted, Lazarus, comfort. I thank you, Father, because you have heard my voice, because you hear me always. He did not have to go to the grave of Lazarus to start crying and shouting and having a night vigil and, you know, hitting down and binding devils. And he said Lazarus was comfort. And I tell you the truth, Jesus Christ never had to say Lazarus comfort. He did that for those who are around to hear. It was enough for him to think it. It was enough for him to meditate in his heart and said that thing in his mind, and it would have come to pass. Praise God. Let the shadows flee away. Hallelujah. Let the shadows flee away. These shadows of darkness that have, you know, encompassed the mind of our understanding, that has caused us to lose all awareness of this beauty. This beauty of oneness that we have in God. Now, this is the power of the ages to come that the Bible so talks about. The power of the ages to come is that power that operates by our realizing that we walk in that name and that we are one with God. Praise God. In that day, anything you ask the Father, He shall do for you. Now, you better understand that this is the power by which Christ created the heavens and the earth. See, the Bible says that everything in heaven and on the earth, everything underneath the sea, in the skies, in the galaxies, in the oceans, in the forests, both things visible and invisible, we are all created by Him. By who? By Christ. Praise God. And what gave Christ that power? Because He says here, that thing which gives Christ that power is what we just heard just now. That anything you ask in the Father's name, He will do for you. Because anything that the Son asks, He does for Him. The Father and the Son are one. They are one inseparable entity. Praise God. Once a man awakes in the Son, once a man rediscovers the mystery of his true self in the awakening, that power to do all things is restored back to Him. Praise God. Now that is the power that gives you the peace that surpasses all your understanding. That is the power that causes the garden to bloom. That is the power that makes the Garden of Eden flourish in you. That is the power that calms the raging seas. That is the power that acts as a shield from the many, many fiery darts of the wicked one. Hallelujah. Psalm 91 says that the pestilence shall not touch you by night, neither these fiery arrows by day. Why? Because you have known the name of the Lord. You have walked in the secret place. The secret place is that consciousness of the Christ. Hallelujah. When a man wakes up in the reality of his true identity as Christ, the Son of God, what happens is that he's insulated from every power of darkness. Hallelujah. Paul says that our life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. To get to you, the devil has to first of all get to God and get to Christ. See, your life is hidden in God so that nothing can touch you. No evil one can touch you. Praise God. You remain in perfect stillness and peace and just become an observer as this world passes away. As the elements pass away, as the physical things pass away, you are still and unmovable in the reality that I and the Father are one. Praise God. In that day you shall what? Ask in my name whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Why? Because the Father loves you. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Father loveth you. The Father loves you the way He loves me. The Father loves you because you have loved me. So the Father loves you because you have walked in truth by marrying yourself back to your true identity. Praise God. We must understand this thing, that the Father loves us. The Father has never left us. The Father has never abandoned us for one moment. He has never forsaken us for one moment. He has always been with us, near us. Hallelujah. But we must awake to know these things. Praise God. We must awake to realize these things. Hallelujah. Let us not be discouraged by things that happen around us as we go through our experiences in this life. See, a lot of us have had experiences in this life. Some are not pleasurable with our family members, with friends, in our workplaces, health conditions. And we all have tasted of these things that will cause the devil to cause you to waver, and to ask, the devil will come in your ear and whisper to you, does God really love you? But I tell you, the Father loves you. The same way He loved Christ. And the Father's will towards Jesus is the same will towards you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is that same power that the Father has working towards you to raise you from the dead and to cause you to sit back in your place in glory. Somebody said, well, I lost my temper the other day and I behaved in a way that is not worthy of the name of the Lord. The Father loveth you. The Father is not aware of what you do outside in the dark, because the Father is in the light. Praise God. God is love. God does not change. Praise God. No matter how far away the prodigal son goes, no matter how far away the prodigal goes and, you know, mingles with the pigs and with the prostitutes, the Father's love never changes. Of course, the prodigal son, for a moment, will suffer great tribulation. We go through many pains and unnecessary hassles. Why? Because he lost that awareness of the love of God. But when he comes back to his senses from the dead, when he awakes from the dead, now the world, the inhabitants of this world, inhabit the realm of death. The inhabitants of this world inhabit the realm of death. That is why there is no knowledge of God. There is no knowledge of the love of God. Now, if I knew that God loves me, I don't need to go about scheming and out scheming my brother. If I knew that the Lord loves me, I don't need to go about gossiping and trying to slander and bring the other brother down. If I know the Father loves me and has given me all things, I don't need to go about seeking for the vain glory of men. I just remain tucked up in the love of God, tucked up in the reality of my oneness with God. I don't need to seek the glory and the approval of men. Of course, it doesn't mean I should misbehave and just act anyhow. But what I'm trying to say is that my focus and the source of my joy will remain only that of the Father. Praise God, the Father loves you. The Father loveth you the same way He has loved me. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ descended into this world. Isn't that what we read in John chapter 16 verse 28? It says, I came forth from the Father and I am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Jesus Christ too had his struggles. Praise God. You know Jesus Christ too had his struggles. So that's why you hear the devil come to tempt him. Now the devil coming to tempt Jesus is all in the mind. It's the natural mind. It is the carnal aspect of Jesus, the human life of Jesus, that seeks to convince Jesus that God does not love him. See, but Jesus Christ had to travail and say, stay steadfast in his confession. See, Jesus Christ knew he came out of the Father. He knew that he was one with the Father. He knew that the Father loves him, and he knew that the Father's goodwill towards him was to bring him to the place of all power and perfection. He knew that the Father's intention towards him was to raise him from the dead, so that he will realize that love that surpasses all understanding. That is why he could withstand, and with groaning and in prayers and in travails and in meditations and in continuity, he stayed focused in that confession. I go to the Father. Praise God. No matter how many problems we fall into as men, no matter imperfections that we might encounter as men in the flesh, we must get first of all that knowledge of our oneness with the Father, which can never change. We must get the understanding of the Father's thoughts towards us, the Father's thoughts towards all men is that all men be saved. His thoughts towards all is that all men be what? Be saved. It's not talking about Christians here. God is not aware of Christians. See, Christianity is a name and formation that we all, these things are in outer darkness. God is not aware of that. Buddha, Muslim, those things are of men. Hallelujah. His desire is that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. Now the truth is our oneness with God. The truth is our oneness with the Father. The truth is that God has loved us with an eternal love that can never, you know, change. Hallelujah. So when we pray and we groan and we travail, is that we stay focused on that recognition, that love that has been revealed to us today through the gospel, through the good news. Hallelujah. And pray for a conscious realization continuously, an ascension in our consciousness, so that we can realize these things. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ says that the world has not known you, Father, but I have known you. I have known your love. I have known your true purposes towards me. Praise God. That is the Christ consciousness. That is our calling, is to realize that consciousness that with which Jesus Christ confessed that I have known you, Father. The world has not known you. Praise God. I have known you, Father, but the world has not known you. Paul's prayer was that I may know him. He said that I may know the Christ. I might know myself. I might know the mystery of myself. And if I know myself, I know that I am loved of God. See, it's all in the resurrection. It's all in the awakening. So awake from the dead. If you are dead, you do not know yourself. You have no reality of truth. That is the dead. The dead are annihilated from the life of God, from the love of God, from the beauty and the boundless mercies of God, the infinite love of God. They are, you know, annihilated from the infinite dimensions of pleasures. But it's giving us now insight on how we can reunite. We came out of the Father and we are ascending back into the Father. Praise God. Our fellowship is in the Father and with the Son. This is what John writes in 1 John. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. See, we're not fellowshipping with Jesus in the sky and the Father in the sky. See, we in the Son, we who awake are in the Son, and the Son is in us. We are the Son. See, we enter into the fellowship with the Father. Praise God. That is the fellowship that was happening in the Garden of Eden that caused everything to bloom and to blossom. It's a divine fellowship, a fellowship in light, in spirit. Praise God. This is our gathering. We're gathering into that fellowship of love. In that fellowship of love is the all power, is the vitality, is the peace, the stillness that we seek. Because when you come there, you know that nothing changes. Somebody is still crying and mourning over a dead child, a dead father, a dead mother, a dead wife. Somebody died years ago. When you get into Eden, when you enter into this reality, you will discover that nothing is ever lost. Hallelujah. For a moment you might have gone through pain and distress. For a moment you might have suffered many things in the flesh. But in there, there's no such thing as pain or distress. Because everything is made plain. Hallelujah. Your father, your son, your mother, those who have gone away are in that fellowship. They are entering into that fellowship with you in the Father. You all meet, return back and meet in that fellowship in the Father. Fellowship in light. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. God is love. And we must learn to perceive God as a God of love. Praise God. As we perceive God, the true nature of God, we begin to understand who we truly are in relation to God. We must awaken to this reality. Hallelujah. And as we do this, we begin to know that all things work together for our good. Turn to this Romans chapter 8. These are verses that we might have read over and over again, but it pays to go back and recite these things again and again, to meditate on them. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Hallelujah. To them who are the call according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did it destined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Praise God. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything in the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depths, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. I read these things properly. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. See that sensation of hell, principalities, powers, the darkness of this age, the rulers of this age, negative thoughts, self-condemnation, our feelings of guilt, our mistakes as men. Nothing. I repeat, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Why? Because we are the sons of God. Praise God. Through Christ, we are predestined to follow that same path into glory that Jesus Christ followed. And it's happening right now as you are hearing the voice of the Father in this hour. There's an awakening, a quickening in the sons as they hear the voice of truth. He's causing his people to awake to the reality that he has loved us with what? An everlasting love. An unquenchable love. See it, I have a relation. See it, who used to be very, very principled man. Of course, outwardly, everybody thought he was perfect. Everybody thought he was an example of perfection. He was so strict, so self-righteous. But later on in his life, certain secrets about this man came out to light. See, certain dark secrets about his sexual life, things that nobody would have ever believed, because they view this man as a disciplinarian, a very perfect person. And when these things started to leak and come out, very, very embarrassing details, when this man heard about it, when this man started to realize that people started to know his secrets, things that he did in the dark, he was so ashamed of himself that he kind of knocked this man into misery, into depression, which eventually killed him. See, he felt guilty, ashamed, that he couldn't face the world anymore after living many years with such self-righteousness, parading himself as a perfect person. who would never do anything wrong. Now everything came to light that he was just like every other man. Guilt, shame led him to his death, miserable death. Now I feel sorry for that man because he died that way because he did not hear the voice of God. If he had heard the voice of God, he would realize that it is the Father that justifies. He would have realized what it means that in Christ, in God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not regarding their shortcomings, not minding their imperfections. God is not interested in what you do or what you did and all that. All he's interested is that his sons return back into his everlasting arms of love. That is what God is interested in. He's not peeping in your bathroom what you are doing. He's not peeping in your bedroom. He's not peeping at you and watching out what you are doing. Rather, he's calling his sons back to his eternal arms with love. Because the Father loves you. Yes, I made mistakes. Yes, I was silly. Yes, I was foolish. Yes, I did things in the past. But that man right now has been crucified. He's no more. Rather, it is Christ in me, the Son of God. And the Father loves me. And the Father does not condemn me. Rather, the Father has justified me. And he has glorified me. He has perfected me. He has called me unto glory. If this man had heard these words, and if this man had known the heartbeat of God, that all men be saved, if this man had realized what it means that all men are falling short, all men are falling short of the glory of God, all men, there is not one that is righteous. Rather, all men are falling short of the glory of God. If this man had realized this secret, he would not have died in misery. See, God would have raised him up. Hallelujah. And with that same justification with which God had justified him, he would have gone about justifying people. And, you know, this is the will of God. So let us not wallow in self-condemnation. And let us not think back, but rather look forward. Let things of the past be bygones, and let us move forward. As long as it is today, let us look forward. Tomorrow is gone, it does not exist. Rather, let us live right now and look unto the offer and the finisher of our day, of our faith. Praise God, the Father has loved you. See, this is the new day that we are entering now. It is right now. See, the Father has loved you. The same way the Father loved me, he has loved you. See, in that day, you don't need to pray to Jesus in the sky. But rather, you know that you are Christ, the Son of God. This is the union of love that we are being called to in this hour. Praise God. Walking in the reality of this perfect love of God. Hallelujah. See, the Son of God is the one that inherits all things. All the bountiful blessings of God rest with the Son of God. Everything that is God's rests in the Son of God. Hallelujah. The cattle on a thousand hills, all the gold, both discovered and undiscovered, all the oil, both discovered and undiscovered, all the riches of the deep, all the money in all the bank accounts, all the glories of this world belong to the Son of God. So when you know these things, you enter into your rest and you don't need to struggle. You don't need to fight for vainglory. But rather you must know, awake, to know yourself the way you are known of God. Hallelujah. Turn quickly to the book of John. Let us see the words of John. John concerning the Son, so I will know the love of God towards us. Let us understand the will of God and the love of God towards us. That love that is functioning in us, bringing healing in us. See, when we begin to perceive the way God perceives the creation, we also begin to perceive each other in the same light with which God perceives the creation. Praise God. The way we perceive God affects our lives. If we perceive God as a God that is vengeful, a God whose only work is to seek out people and to judge people, look out for faults in people, whose work is simply to scrutinize people and to condemn people. Now, if that is your idea of God, well, you might best be assured that you also will be a condemner of people. You will be judgmental. See, you will not be tolerant. But when you know the loving nature of God, you too will also be a bundle of love. Praise God. John chapter 3 verse 38, For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hands. He that believeth on his Son has what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not on his Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that that himself does. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. Just listen to those wonderful words by John the Baptist. He had a revelation here of the love of God towards the Son. Of course, at that point in time, John himself was veiled to the reality that he himself also is the Son. He still had a revelation of Jesus as something external because there was a veil over his face. See, but today the veil has been lifted up of our face, and we are realizing the Christ in us, which is the Jesus in us that God wants us to know. That is the Son of God in us. Praise God. And with that Son of God in us, we have what? The Spirit of God without measure. God withholds nothing from us. Everything that is God's is ours. See it. Everything that is God's is what? Is ours. When we know these things now, we begin to walk and confess these things. It gives us rest and peace, assurance. See, we begin to grow in love and respect for one another. See, recognizing that we all have an inheritance in God the Father. We all have been loved by the Father. We all bear that same name, and we all have that same destiny in God. Because God is one. See, the whole thing is fulfilled in love. See, when we come to that place, we kick aside doctrines. I believe this will happen, I believe that will happen. But rather, we just begin to love and walk in the reality of our oneness with the Father. See, this is what the Bible calls the coming of Christ. The coming of Christ is the realization of the Son of God in you. The coming of the Son of Man with great power and glory is the realization of that one in you who is one with God the Father. That one in you who asks anything of the Father and gets anything from the Father. Because the Father has loved us with an eternal love. No matter how bad you feel, It can never change. No matter how low we are falling, how bad our mistakes is, that love of God remains there. The Father loves the Son, and His intention is to glorify us and to bring us back into the realization of our oneness with God. So let us not be discouraged. See, many letters we receive from friends, brethren, who complain about the feeling they are not progressing and all that kind of stuff. And I tell you that I myself at times, that feeling comes to me in my mind at times. See, but you have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because that mind that says that God is separate from you is Satan. That mind that says God has left you is Satan. See, that is not that is the mind of the devil. That is the veiled consciousness of the serpent mind. Praise God. So let us use these words and by faith enter into this day right now. Walk in the reality of this day. See it lifting each other up. See it encouraging one another and confessing this great mystery that the Father has revealed to us in this hour. See it, may the Lord continuously guide us through the gates into His everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Flourish like the vine. I will heal your wrong ways. I will love you so freely. You will dwell beneath my shadow. I will be as the dew to my people. And they will blossom as the lily.
My people.